The title of the talk today is Music of the Spheres. I'd like to tell another Matisse story. He had a garden full of flowers that he said was his best teacher about color. And he's considered to be the master of color for a painter. But he found he could never get the color that flowers can get. But he would go walking through his garden and just picking flowers to make an arrangement to paint. And he would pick them and have them in his arm and be full of delight just having them on his arm. And then he would go inside and put them in the jar to paint them, and they had lost their beauty because he had arranged them for the painting. Another painter had given a trick of how to deal with that situation, because it seems like other painters had the same thing happening. I don't remember who it was. I don't think I have that one here. But I think it was maybe Renoir. Another famous guy said, okay, you arrange the flowers and then turn it around and look at the other side, the side that you hadn't seen. That will be more paintable. So if someone is learning to play music or learning to paint or learning to play with meditation, in some way, we do need to start with, like in music, you start with the scales, where you just do the exercises. And you go up and you go down. I remember as a child having lessons to play the silver flute. And I loved the sound of the silver flute. But learning the scales kind of killed it for me. And 1 week, I had a class, I had a lesson once a week, and 1 week I didn't manage to practice the scales. And the whole few days before my lesson on Monday, I was terrified. And when I got there, my teacher said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Well, I've been dreading this lesson because I haven't been able to practice this week." And she said, "You're too young to be dreading anything." And she was right, and I quit. I was too young to be dreading anything, and I didn't know how to play with the scales at that age. So for us, the scales might be when we're trying to find out what is a thought. We're trying to experience what is a thought. Or we're trying to find out what is anger. Or what we've been calling anger. Or what they call anger. Or what is it that I'm feeling that I've suddenly come across in my belly just when I thought I had gotten to the peaceful meditation part. So how can we stay with that very spontaneous walking through the garden and taking the flowers that inspire us as a practice without ruining the beauty of it, without reducing the aliveness? When I was learning the scales, I could see that it did help. My fingers got faster. And it did help when I tried to play a song, the fact that I had practiced the scales. So how to find a way of playing the scales? whatever kind of scales are helpful for us, without losing the aliveness. Someone asked me today if we could go into a set of practices or a kind of practice without feeling its sparkle, without the sparkle calling us. And I didn't really want to say my answer, because what came to me was no. Not to go into a practice that doesn't sparkle for us. But maybe the practice is not at fault. So maybe doing the scales is worthwhile. But how can we do the scales without killing our aliveness? There's a very helpful teaching that I received last year that says, should is a curse. And they really meant curse. They didn't just take it lightly. They meant a curse that's marked on your forehead. A really curse. I should is a curse, is a disgrace. I can is deliverance. Deliverance is a little bit of a religious word from the Judeo-Christian tradition, and we could find another word if that language is dead for us. Some people have had enough negative experiences in that culture that they can't hear that language without losing a connection. I can brings us back out into the garden, where we're able to just pick the flowers and have them in the arm and feel the grace of that. Something that we call wonder that really draws us. And if we cannot stop ourselves, it really draws us into feeling in precision, in detail, something in our experience. So the other day, someone was telling me to feel, to just say the word la, and just say la, and say la, letting the jaw come down, la, and say la, letting the jaw stay here and the upper part go up. La, la. This was a dancer who had heard that without her voice, she would never be able to dance. And so she was going into la and la. And that helped me find this whole world between the middle upper part of my mouth down into my throat. So she says la, and then feel, where is your tongue when you say the la? Ooh. Is your tongue pointing down or up? It's different for different people. La or la, la, la. And she said, point your tongue down on the back of your teeth and do the upper la, la. And just feel down into your throat, la. And then she said, just do the l, and then just do the ah. If I had to go every Monday to a classroom that wasn't in use because the students had gone home, and sit there with this strict teacher, and she was telling me, go la, 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 I would definitely quit. Especially at the age of 13, when I had other important things to do, like straighten and curl my hair. But hearing how someone else got so interested in law because she was a dancer and she wanted to feel the dance in her mouth. She wanted to liberate her palate. How do you say it? That thing? Uvula? Anyway. And larynx. And her enthusiasm was contagious. And so I found myself last night in the singing, feeling that whole area just humming. Not because I was trying to practice law, but because of having practiced law, there was freedom there. That skin was singing. And so someone might tell us to figure out what our habit energies are, what are our patterns that are forcing us into servitude, keeping us from enjoying the music of life. Or life situations might force us to look at ways that we are habitually kind of programmed. And we don't really want to look at it. We don't really want to go into it. We don't want to feel. But if we can kind of feel what it was like when we walked through the garden and discovered the flowers and put them together in the way that we felt like without thinking about the painting, or where we were allowed to just law because no one was listening and someone else was really enthusiastic about law. We might find our way into those kind of, I want to say conglomerations, so like packages of energy that rule us, that are waiting for us every Monday and keeping us from really playing music. I think it's when we can feel that the fact that that insecurity or that anger or that fear always gets turned on in that situation. It's that package that's actually stopping me from enjoying the flowers or hearing the music of life. It's not that there's a strict teacher that wants me to stay in the boring classroom that's stopping me from living. It's that conglomeration, it's that habit pattern or energy pattern. It's that moment where I can notice that the flowers don't have that freshness now. Now that I've put them in the jar to paint them, something got lost. If I can let myself see, it's not so fresh, it's not so alive. And if I cannot go ahead with the painting of that not alive bouquet, if I could find another way, which might be go back in the garden, it might be turn the jar around, it might be any other silly idea that comes up in the moment. Sometimes anything is better than going ahead and painting that painting, going ahead and living out that habit energy. however unexpected it might be. So sometimes someone else's enthusiasm about really getting drawn into the exploration of the aliveness of something seemingly ridiculous and unimportant. Or sometimes just seeing that we don't want to paint that bouquet that we just made. We don't want to live through that habit energy that we just got, that just got woken up by the usual circumstance. Someone looked at us and didn't smile. And the rest of the day, we might be triggered every time we remember that moment. What did I do wrong? Someone looked at us and did smile, and it would be easy for, sometimes it can happen that we think they're laughing at me, or they like me, which could be good or bad news. What was good for me about the music classes that I had was to know that there's not just the scale that goes up 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 and down 7, 6, 5. There are these other kind of combinations that sounded, we were just starting to get into music theory when I quit. To know that when these particular sounds are combined, a particular effect happens, something very interesting happens. Sometimes that's all we need, if we can let ourselves run into the music without having to go to the class. That we could play on our own with rhythm, intensity, tone, putting two tones together, three tones together. How does that feel? What is my experience? In the same way that we could play with La for a week. And so also with meditation, or let's say spiritual path, or also we could say listening to our own path. Listening to our path unfold. We might discover our rhythm. And sometimes it helps to be on a retreat so that I can discover how my rhythm is similar and how it's different. So then the retreat is like playing a scale. Useful for a while, maybe if I enter into it, if I can find the enthusiasm, maybe borrowing someone else's. But not so that I keep playing that scale forever. Probably. Could be, but probably not. So that I can feel how this note moves me and how this note seems to change the atmosphere, and so on. And so we can get to know our rhythm. What is our rhythm for now? That may change. We get to know what it's like to play with the intensity of presence, the whisper, the yell. We get to play with atmosphere. These are things that are not often mentioned in meditation instructions, but are important. It's like for me, I studied art in college, but it was a college that was embarrassed to have an art department. So it was absolutely forbidden to mention anything practical about how to be an artist. Just paint. No idea about how to make a portfolio or whatever. So here, part of what's happening, part of listening to our path unfolding is not just what's happening right now, what's happening right now, what's happening right now, what's happening right now, but also in the day, I can notice that in the afternoon I'm irritable. And again, I'm in the afternoon irritable, and again, in the afternoon I'm irritable. What if I actually take that into account and play with that too? If I could hear that as part of the music of my path unfolding. Instead of trying to just push through it, keep doing the scales every Monday, show how you did this week in your practice. That was very much for me the feeling of my music lessons was monotone. When we hear ourselves forcing monotone, that could remind us, monotone is like just the same tone, all a good way to put a child to sleep by telling the story in monotone. It's a good tool in the right moment. But if we feel ourselves kind of forcing monotone, trying to make the whole day be the same all the time, then we could start to hear how we ignore what we ignore, which is part of our path unfolding. I would like to tell a kind of a story that happened today. Because this talk is about the artfulness of life, the music of life, but it's somehow including flowers. This very clear feeling image came to me yesterday, and I knew it had to do with the talk without knowing exactly how, where it would fit. And it was just this simple thing of a flower opens. And here in Tiruvannamalai, I've had the chance to be around flowers that sometimes really they open between 5 and 6 p.m. or between 6 and 7 a.m. They open every day. And I have sat and tried to watch them to see the movement. And there's one kind, Rangoli creeper, that opens in the evening. And it must be in the 1 second that you blink or look away that the petal flops open. But I never did see. I never could see it. I did try. So when I'm talking about listening to our path unfolding, it's that kind of listening where we could try to hear the flower opening or see the flower opening. We know it's opening. We see that it was closed and we see that it later it's something else. But we can't see it in the way that we think we should, maybe. But what's interesting about this flower opening that came as an image to me yesterday, someone mentioned to me today that she sat by those beautiful purple water lilies and tried to watch it open, tried to see it opening. And she says that she sat for an hour trying to see it move, or in case she might see it move as it opened. And it sounded to me as if she was in a very a space with receptivity and intensity. So that kind of playing, receptive and intense. Not seeing any movement happen with her eyes during that whole hour as the flower opened. A couple of tears came out of her eyes. But she can't say why. It's one of the things I love about being on retreat in silence and also talking a little bit, is to get to hear how our paths are unfolding together and how, in so many ways that we don't know, we may be helped together or helping each other. And one thing I love about the way this woman described her hour with the flower was that she knew it wasn't to be put into a single meaning. We could say, that's so beautiful how we can know that things are happening and opening, but we can't, even if we can't see it. And that could kill. That would be like when we arrange the bouquet to paint it. When we let things keep their fullness of expression as they are, the perfection, not because it fits my idea of how it should be, but perfection in the sense of wholehearted, really wholehearted. And that's why this title came, Music of the Spheres. There's a poem by Meister Eckhart, or something that he said one time that someone made into a poem, maybe, that he says, everything that we see and hear and feel and taste, etc., and everything that we think and feel completes, which is one of the meanings of perfection, is to complete, completes a perfect circle drawn by God. And sometimes it might be especially helpful to feel one part of that circle, and where that might have a perspective that gives a meaning that might be encouragement today. But if we could come back to that wholeness, wholeness of heart, wholeness of meaning, where it's not just one meaning, any experience, any flower, any unfolding. If it would be just one meaning, it would just be how it fulfills my expectation, rather than how it fulfills itself. And so once we've practiced scales for a while, we might get to finally learn some songs, which is exciting. So maybe we start to notice more often when that insecurity or anger, sadness or fear is triggered, or when that thing in the belly that we don't know what it is kind of occurs. From here, we can go in kind of two directions. And one direction would be trying to learn to play the song as an expert. And so we try to handle the habit pattern. We try to handle the anger, the sadness, or insecurity. We try to handle it perfectly. So with art, so with music, we have this temptation to go towards expertness. And if we can feel the difference between what we can feel is important and enriching in practicing, so the fingers get more responsive, we have more possibilities in each moment as we practice. Or when we start to get more and more narrowly drawn into the expertness, expert meditator, And what happens when we start to become expert meditators is we become intolerant, which is different from sensitive. Sensitivity will be there in both. And sometimes it's hard to tell the difference. My ear might become more and more sensitive to hear my path unfolding, to hear the music of life happening and flowing. And sometimes I might even notice that my habit patterns are triggered even more quickly and easily. So even that kind of sensitivity can also grow. And we think, oh my God, I'm getting worse. Why did I start to meditate? But there's a kind of difference between a sensitivity that is opening and a sensitivity that is about closing off. And so if I become expert in music, it's not that I'm interested in how sensitive I am to sound and what that moves in me, and sometimes how uncomfortable it can be to be moved. All I want, if I'm an expert in music, is to fix it. To make the person who's playing music with me, who's not doing it well, to make them shut up. And it would be shut up. So we become more interested in the perfection of the music that we can hear, and less interested in how what is happening is completing itself. How what is happening is already whole and round. So the intolerant expert tends to flatten out from sphere to circle, let's say. And the circle tends to be something that I could show. So that the challenge for musicians and artists and meditators. The music that I'm playing is being heard. The painting that I'm painting might be seen. The meditation that I'm doing, the path that is unfolding, does expose me to criticism or praise, etc. So if I notice that I would be willing to tell someone to shut up or tell myself to shut up, if I can then feel that aggression and come back to the kind of sensitivity that might make us tremble with vulnerability rather than make us firm with our certainty. When we can feel our vulnerability with that sensitivity, when we can feel it, it leads in and it leads towards this fullness. It helps us start to hear a wider harmony. Sometimes I like to play the game of just, sometimes it's hard to actually hear all the sounds that are happening in any moment. Because usually there's the interest in one and then we've missed that. But to be really open and hear that, as if we're tasting, or as if we're looking at a vast view. Whenever I manage to hear all of that kind of whole round, all round sound, I have to admit to myself that it sounds like a symphony. It sounds like it's been composed. And it's not that I've tried that in every single situation. I'm not saying that it has to be that way, but in my experience, it has been like that. So if we don't go towards that habitual tendency of expert, and we stay open with just playing music, even if I'm playing someone else's song right now, I might be doing a practice someone else told me to do, or someone else mentioned, or I read in a book. Sometimes through that, playing that song, I might drop down into the source of creativity where that song came from, through someone else, through seemingly someone else. This is where we might be practicing playing that song and we could play it forever. So even if I had the idea that in playing this song I'm not getting anywhere, I would still play the song. Even if I felt inspired, it felt enough, it felt like wholeness in the heart to just play the one note in the morning, in the evening, in the middle of the night, when I'm peeing, when I'm standing in line, when I'm serving the food, when I'm reading, maybe even when I'm sleeping. That one note brings the wholeness of the heart, reminds me of the wholeness of the heart. The wholeheartedness is then available. I have a teacher named Philomena Dooley. I think it's a great name, Philomena Dooley. I think someone might like to have a mantra, Philomena Dooley. It probably means something in Sanskrit or Japanese or something. And she is one of a very few authorized teachers of this energy system that I've mentioned a few times, Jin Shin Jutsu, which I promise I'll put on the board eventually, probably at the end. And it's really interesting because she is known of the main three of these teachers. She's known as the one who specializes in the body. So there's three, and the public, the Jin Shin Jutsu public, call one of them the spirit, the one who's more spiritual. I haven't met her yet. Then there's the one who's called the mind, because he's supposedly more mental. He'll explain all of the numerology and astrology and everything behind. And so Philomena got the body. There's three of them, and there's spirit, and there's mind, and there's body, so she got the body. And I find this so crucial, it's so important. Because, of course, spiritual is better. Philomena is one of the top three teachers, but she's expert in the body. And what I found in my experience with her, and what people say when you really talk to them after a course with her, it seems like she knows this art so fully that she goes to the simple. And one thing that you might have noticed happening, and it's part of the art of hearing our path unfold, You might just sometimes happen to notice a detail in the scene, in your experience, in your life. It might be a detail inside, it might be a detail outside. You might happen to notice a piece of paper that looks like a piece of trash on the ground somewhere, and you might happen to go and pick it up. And it might happen to say something you needed to see. Or it might happen to be a note that someone lost and wants to find. It may seem to have nothing to do with you, and you pass it to that person. The name is written there. So Philomena Dooley, happens to notice a detail in the way your rib cage is, or the way your foot falls out or in. And people understand that to be, she specializes in the body. What she specializes in is seeing energy expressing through the body. And she has a direct communication with the energy through that detail. And this is like the woman seeing the flower opening without seeing it move. There's a direct communication. There are people called scientists who are trying to figure out what our experience is. What is our experience? And so they look at perception, and what is perception? And they say perception is a kind of scale. It's kind of a note and then another note and then another note and then another note. It's not all one thing. But they also say two things that I find really interesting. They say that our evolution of systems of communication in the different species, the way we evolved, each species evolved into communication, is tied up with the act of perception. It's tied up with the environment in which we evolved, of course, and our equipment to perceive that. And so they start to see perception as communication. Another way to say that would be perception. So that means we see a color or we hear a sound, for example, or we taste a taste. Any perception happens, and there's an exchange. It's not just kind of the illusion of my neurons creating the sensation or the idea of a color. Because we live so much in our ideas of what we're perceiving, so much the bulk of our experience is in our ideas of what we're receiving or what we're experiencing. But the actual perception might be an actual exchange. An actual communication that might not be communication in the way we think of. It might not be a mental communication of an idea or of a meaning. And so sometimes we find when we're singing together or when we notice a flock of birds, a group of birds flying, sometimes that kind of direct exchange and communication and perception is so direct, it seems to jump faster than time. And so the whole group of birds, the whole group moves in a way that scientists can't yet explain. How do they all know? They can't know that fast. In as far as what we know about knowing and communicating, they can't, but they do. And when we're singing together, it happens many, many times, that without any cause and effect that we can see, without someone saying, oh, why don't we all relax now? Or why don't we all experiment a little bit more now? Why don't we all drop the idea of people listening to me now? It so happens from 1 second to the next, between the 2 seconds, a kind of dropping in. And two people at once experiment or relax and the voice opens, or make a mistake, which is part of experimentation. And so to feel how there can be communication among what seem to be parts of a system or a group, allowing the possibility for this direct exchange that's not going through our head, but is going through us and might be part of our unfolding. An example of what I mean in meditation by this kind of dropping in that suddenly might happen. We can notice the habit energies. And we can sometimes have a little more space to notice them. And sometimes we have the space and we're observing, but we're still getting caught up. And sometimes we have a chance to just stop and not do that thing that we always used to do. But there's not so much freedom. And sometimes, as if between 1 second and the next, we can feel how, yes, honestly, there is this habit energy. And at the same time, dropping in, there is not. There is no trace. This is when we start to improvise our music. We start to be our path unfolding. This is where we enter into a space of transformation. We are directly in touch with potentials, instead of only in touch with habituals. In the Tao Te Ching, they talk about the Tao, so that would be the source of us, we could say. The Tao as being like a well, used but never used up. So it's a void full of infinite possibilities. And this is where we could feel, maybe for the first time, something in life that wants to be used. Otherwise, we meet each other and we don't want to be used. And we shouldn't really be used. We shouldn't be using each other. But there is this place that is used and never used up. When we start to trust that in our experience, we don't know what the next note is going to be in our song. Matisse said, when he's working on a painting, the flower that will come, the tiny fresh flower that will come, never comes in the way we expect. I don't mean the tyranny of trying to be here and now. Only. I love the freedom to be timeless and to let from that potential, which is timeless, things fall into place within time. So the image of the flower opening came, and then it came again in someone telling me their experience, or it came in their experience, and then they told me the experience. Maybe they wouldn't have told me the experience. So sometimes we might see a detail, someone's expression on their face. And if we just let it be without deciding, oh, they're sad, maybe someone saw this person watching the flower and tears coming down. Oh, they're sad, that poor person. I'm sad too. Oh, what a difficult retreat. Or how touching. Oh, I'm also touched, etc. Not to reduce it to that meaning, even if that meaning is within the circle. That might be there. I don't mean to just laugh at and dismiss that kind of experience. That can be true. It can be part of this circle or sphere. But if I don't believe that that's all that's going on in any of my perceptions, if I don't believe that it's just a flat experience, if I can let it all be whole and round, I might receive a detail yesterday that's important next year, today, or both. And what's important for me about those details that come and that we allow to be part of our opening, we allow it to be part of our music, of the music, is that it works by itself for the greater good, for the good of all of what we are in touch with. It might be helpful to me. It might be helpful to you. It might be helpful to someone we never know about. And we don't need to keep track because the music keeps on unfolding and flowing. And we could let ourselves hear the music in everything. We can start to see, I have a friend who's an herbal, we say in America, herbal doctor, a herbal doctor, if you prefer. When I say, could we have some herbs when I'm in the States, my mother just laughs because that's the name of a man in America, herb. It's not the name of a plant. So herbal tea or herbal medicine or herbal tea, herbal medicine, plant medicine or natural medicine. She says that there is a teaching in her way that where we are is our medicine. Wherever we are, our medicine is there. We can hear that in different ways, but one thing that she specifically means, she really means, is here we are, and whatever may be going on, the medicine for you is somewhere at hand. She literally means, maybe have a bite of that neem leaf. And we can play with that and feel how it feels. We can go without tasting the neem leaf, maybe. We could actually tune, we can, as we're starting to be more and more in this transformational space that we are in, where we are less active and something else is more active. We're able to hear the music unfolding, sometimes a little better. We could just sit near the neem tree and feel what is the direct exchange without needing to eat it. And I mean that literally, and I mean that metaphorically. Literally, we could go to a plant and directly exchange. Doing that could help unfold and give confidence to the places that we thought we were ill, where we thought we were just hurt, where we thought we were just habit energy. And as we start to hear the music in that exact same tension in the belly or anger or whatever. It starts to be more and more used as a strength in the music by the whole. So as we are more whole in our experience, hearing the music of it, or if you prefer, seeing the freshness of that flower unexpectedly, letting it be round and not my idea of it, that same flavor of energy starts to be used by the whole for our greater good. And this is when we can be enjoyment. We're with the music because we love the silence, for example. In the Tao Te Ching, they say, we work with being. So we use the wood to make the house, but what we use is the space within the house. We make clay, and we work with the clay to make the jar to put the flowers. What we use is the space in the jar. We're working with things, I'm saying sounds or colors, to mean aspects of our experience, of our living. We work with those things because we can use, so they say, we work with being, but non-being is what we use. It's the Tao, the well that we drink from, that never runs out, that always has another freshness, another unexpected flower. That's what allows us, it's the allowingness for our path to keep on unfolding and never to narrow into expertness. In Buddhism, many times there are stories that the Buddha talks about a character named Mara, who's like the big bad guy. And sometimes there's many of them, and sometimes there's the big, big bad guy. Which is one way of making music, to talk about it that way, to talk about our life as if there's a big bad guy. What's interesting for me about that story of the big bad guy who's there waiting to catch us is there's a way that he can't even see us. He calls us the traceless ones. He says their comings and goings are untraceable. That's what happens when we let things keep completing themselves as they are, without thinking that anything is limited to how I perceive it, the story that I have with it. And rather, if we let our perceptions open out, have their full life and music, feel their perfection, let them be wholehearted in any perception. One teacher says, drawing down the vastness in any perception. We are traceless. We are unexpected. We're able to be simple and maybe just be in love with feeling the most simple thing we come across. The body can be Philomena Dooley. And we can feel when we let tracelessness be our source. So we take water out of the well, and the well shows no sign of being emptier. The flower may seem to open and may seem to close. And what we feel is the unfolding of things as they are. Thank you for listening. May we listen wholeheartedly to our own lives with all its vastness, directness, intensity, meaning, and roundness. May all beings be truly happy.